So today I'm going to be talking about an automated fertigation and irrigation system that we developed while I was on sabbatical at the University of Georgia, and this is in collaboration with the great folks that I worked with there, some of whom are here in the back of the room, wanted to start by giving you some background information about the system that came before this, which is an automated irrigation system that automates irrigation based on volumetric water contents using moisture sensors. And we've been really pleased with this system. It was developed in 2006 by Mark and Molly. And it automates irrigation very well and uses very small amounts of water. And in addition to that, when growers have actually used it in commercial settings, they actually found that it reduced incidence of disease in gardenia. But one thing that we feel is kind of lacking in this system is the ability to control fertilizer. So if you're applying very small amounts of water through this system, if you use liquid fertilizer, you're applying very small amounts of fertilizer at the same time. So using something like a dosatron injector doesn't work particularly well with this system. So typically what we do is use controlled release fertilizer. And that's worked fairly well for us in the past. But the one big challenge with controlled release fertilizer is that if you are applying it in an outdoor setting in really hot climates, you're going to have all the fertilizer released or a huge amount of the fertilizer released all at the same time. And so that can be a challenge as well. And one of the growers that we were collaborating with in Georgia at Evergreen Nursery particularly found this to be a problem with Linton Rose. They were losing quite a few plants due to crown rot, and we suspected that this was maybe due to the use of controlled release fertilizer and having a lot of it released all at the same time due to high temperatures. So our objectives were twofold. One was that we wanted to develop a system that automated both irrigation and fertigation simultaneously using sensors. And our second objective was that we wanted to test this system on Linton Rose, since that was a plant that our grower collaborators were having problems with. So we used GS3 sensors for this system, and they measure volumetric water content and electrical conductivity. And we inserted them into the pots with the wire going down on the north side of the pot. So this is the setup that we used. Many thanks to Juanito for putting this beautiful slide together. You can see the container in the middle with the GS3 sensors inserted. Those were connected to a multiplexer that was then connected to a CR1000 data logger. So the data logger collected data from the GS3 sensors, and based on that data, if the volumetric water content and the electrical conductivity, so if both the soil moisture and the EC were below the thresholds that we had established for that container, then we had a solenoid that would open and it would apply fertilizer to those containers. So on the other hand, if just the volumetric water content but not the electrical conductivity were below where they were supposed to be, we had a separate solenoid that would open and would apply water to the plants. So that was our setup. But if you have any other questions about it, please feel free to ask any of us about that. So this is what it looked like on the bench for the hellebores. And our thresholds for volumetric water content were 0.4 liters per liter or 0.5 liters per liter. And for the electrical conductivity, that ranged from 0.25 to 2.0 millisiemens per centimeter. And that was applied with 600 parts per million of 15-5-15 CalMag fertilizer. So this just gives you an idea of what some of the readings looked like from our sensors. And I'll start out by giving you an idea of what the volumetric water content readings look like. And the little yellow dots are for the sensors that were in the 0.5 liter per liter pots, and the white dots are for 0.4 liters per liter. And as you can see here, we really felt like once the containers reached their volumetric water content thresholds, they were actually maintained fairly well for both of those thresholds. So next I'll show you a slightly different story for the electrical conductivity. And this is a really colorful, very colorful slide with a lot of data on it. But these are the electrical conductivity measurements from the GS3 sensors. And you can see on the side there, they vary from 0.25 to 2.0 millisiemens per centimeter. So those were all the thresholds that we had for all of our different containers. And the main thing I really wanted to point out here is that our control was not as great as what we were hoping it would be for the electrical conductivity, and definitely not as consistent as what we got for the volumetric water content, where we kind of reached a set point and were able to maintain it really steadily over time. So I did actually pull out some of those EC thresholds to kind of give you some of the trends that we thought were really interesting. And one of the things that was really neat that we noted with the EC set points was that when we tried to maintain 0.25 to 0.75, that was something over 100 days that we never actually reached. So if you try to fertigate your plants at any of those set points, they just kind of kept going down and never really reached those set points at all. So they were never fertilized at all. And for the upper set points from 1.5 to 2.0, that was kind of where we saw most of our noise. So those were the least consistent thresholds or set points out of all of them, whereas the most consistent were probably within the 1.0 to 1.25 millisiemen per centimeter range. But overall, we felt like even though there was a bit more noise than we would really like to see with these measurements for our first run through with the GS3 with the fertigation system, we felt like it was fairly consistent at getting them close to the set points we were looking for, as long as you're going for a set point of 1.0 or above. So I'll go on to some of the other data that we collected, and one thing we looked at is the amount of fertilizer that was applied for all of our different electrical conductivity treatments. If you look at this, the EC is along the x-axis, kind of increasing as you go to the right. And not surprisingly, we applied more fertilizer as we had a greater EC set point. And that ranged from zero for those lowest three, all the way up to 8 liters applied over 100 days. And we felt like that was a fairly low volume of fertilizer to apply over a 100-day period. And this next slide gives you an idea of what some of the plants look like. On the top, you can see the plants that were irrigated at 40 liters per liter, and on the bottom, 50 liters per liter. And going from left to right, the ones on the left received the lowest amount of fertilizer, and on the right, they received the greatest amount of fertilizer. The three on the far left, both on the top and on the bottom, were the ones that received no fertilizer at all. And you'll notice that those are slightly chlorotic and somewhat smaller compared to the plants going towards the right. And we actually saw that with the data that we collected as well. So we looked at the growth index. And the growth index had a tendency, a significant trend to increase as the electrical conductivity increased. And we also looked at the chlorophyll concentration index on the leaves, and that significantly increased as well as you increase the electrical conductivity set point for the plants. So the other thing that that we were really interested in looking at, since the growers we were working with were losing tons of plants to disease, was the incidence of disease in these plants. This experiment is actually still going on in Georgia at the height of summer, and so far we haven't lost any plants at all due to crown rot. We have lost two to root rot. This is one of the plants that was lost due to root rot, but we feel like it's been a pretty good success story so far in terms of not losing plants due to disease. So in conclusion, for our automated irrigation and fertigation system, we feel like control of electrical conductivity is possible, but potentially less uniform than volumetric water content control. And for some of the set points, they never receive fertilizer at all. But if you're looking at hellebore, we think this is potentially a good way controlling, using an automated fertigation system is a really good way to reduce disease for these plants. So we'd like to thank the people who helped fund this research, and I'll take any questions at this time. Yes, sir.
The chlorophyll data.
Yes.
You had plotted just a linear relationship.
Yes.
But the data looks like it's two flat linear responses. One below one, the other one's at a higher level. It seems as though once you get to a certain amount of nitrogen or your EC level, the chlorophyll levels are stable.
Yeah, I looked at a quadratic trend as well, and they were both, quadratic and linear were both significant for that. I mean, it's a bit tricky because with those lower ones, I mean, they're so flat because they received no fertilizer for 100 days, so it's but there was a significant quadratic and a significant linear trend. Yeah.
You applied 600 parts per million nitrogen.
Yes.
And then is that a recommended rate, or what is the optimum level of nitrogen?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the way that we set it up is we had the nitrogen as a pulse of a very high concentration of nitrogen. So anytime the EC dropped below where it was supposed to be, the plants received 300 parts per million for 3 minutes. So we were doing things really differently than what you would typically see greenhouse growers do. We were actually fertigating based on the substrate EC levels rather than just putting a parts per million nitrogen in a bucket and just applying it based on the parts per million nitrogen. It was just purely based on substrate EC.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Did you monitor the amount of, let's say, nitrogen coming out of the bottom?
We really didn't see any nitrogen coming out of the bottom of the pot at all. That's one thing that's different about this system and our automated irrigation system is that you don't really have leachate at all. Right, which is a really good benefit for the growers because it makes it a lot more environmentally friendly. Yeah.
Do you think that if you would have done a lower dosage that you would have had more uniformity, like a 500 parts per million, or 50 parts?
Yeah, it's possible that might be something good to look at in the future. Is we could do a lower parts per million nitrogen and see if that would give us better uniformity. Yeah, thank you for the suggestion.
Okay, so we have to move to the next speaker.
Yeah, thank you.